Is this turned on, Jesse? You don't have, I'm just asking.
It should have been, it might have been.
I just want to make sure those that go in the back can hear it. Okay, learning to trust God from the book of Job is our overall theme. Today we want to look at the problem with evil, pain, and suffering. This lesson is miles and miles and miles big, long, and deep. My goal for today is this morning, introduction, this afternoon, open our Bibles up more and look at it more in depth. Can't even scratch the surface of this particular topic. I hope sometime in the future to present more lessons on it. And the reasons why we'll see as we continue our study here. You know, you think you're safe when you're going to church, right? September 24th, 2017. Mike McPherson found himself in the afternoon at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center waiting for updates on the minister of this. I want to look at it on the screen there. Burnett Chapel Church of Christ. Joey Spann. A gunman comes in at the end of services. And people are walking out, and he just begins shooting. We know it wasn't on the news very much because it seemed like more people were interested whether athletes were kneeling for a football game than they were this. But at any rate, he shot, wounded six people. But on his way into the building, he shot Melanie Smith, who was 39 years old, as she was getting into her vehicle to leave. Now, all of you will be walking out this door today to get into your vehicles and leave. Some get to the back so fast and out of here, I don't even know what happened. But at any rate, when people leave after services, this guy started shooting. And, you know, evil thrives in this world today. Everywhere, every day, even Sunday, even at church services, even the last place that you would think something bad could happen. And everybody looks for a why. Why? Why did this happen? Why did they do this? The daughter of the young woman that was killed, she said there's just no understanding evil. There's no understanding hate. Bad things happen to good people. And Christians are not exempt from evil's influence and effects, even during a worship service of God's people. And it doesn't require a doctor's degree in biblical studies to observe that God's people suffer all through the ages. Even those that live righteously, as we are studying Job as a classic example of that. The question always comes up, why does God allow suffering? To some people, they're not that concerned about it. To others, they're consumed by it. Understand, there's not a soul in here that's not going to deal with this problem. Most have already dealt with it. Most are dealing with it now. And those who haven't, if you live long enough, you will. It's life. Persecution of Christians is nothing new. Here in America, it's basically been peace and freedom. But that's not the case everywhere in the world. Nor has it been the case throughout ages. And it might not be the case here at some point in time. obviously, when you think back just a few weeks ago, you know, we need courage. We need courage to confront evil. And courage comes in many different forms, doesn't it? Courage can be standing up for the truth. In class we studied, and I brought up the passage from Revelation 21 about being a coward, suffering eternity in hell for those who are cowards. Saying no to sinful temptation. To not be a stumbling block to anyone. To go out of our way for that not to happen. To be able to give a defense for your faith. What if I was to pass out paper right now? Open book test. And you write down right now what I need to do to become a Christian. What I need to do to be a faithful Christian. Could you and your Bible and a piece of paper and pen be able to do that? We need to be able to give a defense for our faith. That comes not only what we say and what we do, but we need to know the Word of God. And basically, we just need to learn to live right in the wrong world. These are all actions, all require courage. We live in a time that ridicules godliness. We live in a time that disrespects God, calls evil good and good evil. The thing is that the world defines what is evil. Shooting and killing 59 people is evil. It's pure evil, as President Trump called. Murdering babies at an alarming rate. It's not considered evil. We as Christians have to not be discouraged from the path of righteousness. We may not receive much notice from the world. We may not receive the praise of men or even of our brothers and sisters. But God knows what we're doing, and He will reward the faithful. And that is enough. Should be enough. Sherry has reminded me, and I'm thankful that she does. She's reminded me, Brian, are you trusting and believing what you're saying? Are you hearing what you're saying? Are you making application to the things you're teaching in your life? And those words have hit home to me a lot this week as I do everything I can to put this lesson together. I need to look at this. I need to take perspective of learning to trust God when it comes to the situation of evil and suffering. I just said that we might not receive much notice or praise from the people of the world or even our own brothers and sisters, but God's reward is enough. But you think, and I'm talking about having to have the courage to confront evil, back to the shooting here at this church, the greeter who was at the front there, he had the courage to go at that shooter. And in the process, what was a devastating Sunday could have been even worse. And rightfully so, received some praise and recognition. But then you think about, I thought about this June 23. Let me look over there with you. This morning, there, I don't have a lot of scripture, which is unusual. I have a lot for this afternoon. Jude 23, he's speaking of the of like 19, those ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, they're devoid of the Spirit. But he says, you got to build yourselves up. He says, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. And verse I want to look at is verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating the garment polluted by the flesh. They don't hate the person, but the sin they're in. And Jeremy knows about snatching someone out of the fire, but here we're talking about that spiritual. Here is one who is caught up and he, as if he is burning to death in the fire, and you snatch and pull that person out. That may be done at a point in time and nobody knows about it. That's okay. That's still standing up in the courage that we need to confront the suffering and evilness that this world has. And then there's the Las Vegas shooting that happened last Sunday night, where this man just opens up and fires on people that were like caged in there, where 59 were killed, over 500 injured. And as I said, President Trump called this an act of pure evil. He also said, in times such as these, I know we're searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. Those words are so true. When this type of pain and suffering goes on, whether it's this shootings that we're looking at here, or something has happened to you or your loved one, a health diagnosis or financial or whatever it may be, it's like, why? What's the meaning of all this? How do I shine light in this darkness? The thing is, yes, evil does exist. But explaining evil is so much more difficult. But we can't just ignore it. And this one here, this has been blowing me away. First, I see this picture here. 3,700 abortions each day. Is this true? Are there actually this many babies that are mutilated and murdered every single day? I went on this site. Abortion counters. I went on 10-5. What is today? 8. So Thursday. Thursday at 11:42 a.m. You want to go to this page, just go to usabortionclock.org. It's a counter. At 11:42, there were 1,152 babies slaughtered in the United States. Since the Roe versus Wade in 1973, look at that number. 59, almost 60 million. United States this year, 706,023. As I write this down, they just keep clicking. These are babies being mutilated. Due to rape and incest,
At 1142 this year, there was almost 6,900. Worldwide since 1980. Look at this number. This year, 30,856,828. I went back. Since you loaded this page, when I got it clipped and put on there, there were 56 since I loaded the page. 47 minutes later, there was 5,572. You realize that's over 5,000 babies that are slaughtered and murdered an hour. Worldwide today at 9:00 and was 49,877. At 11:42, at 9:04, there's 75,098, over 25,000 more, which averages to 4,585 babies per hour, or 76 every minute,
which you can see over one per second. Babies are murdered and slaughtered. Evilness. This was yesterday afternoon at 2:10. And the numbers just jump. Since I loaded the page where there was 56 on Thursday, Saturday at 2:10, there were 223,474. Last night at 12:30, it was 271,025. This morning at 9:13, it was 310,514. There's a problem with this evil, pain and suffering. This isn't considered evil by so many. Epicurus, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but I've heard of him. He's an ancient Greek philosopher who lived 341-270 BC. His philosophy is based on the theory that all good and bad derives from the sensations of what he defined as pleasure and pain. Another way is what is good and what is pleasurable. That's right. And what is bad and what is painful, that's wrong. And that's where his moral distinction comes out between good and bad. If you love it, that's good. If you don't, that's bad. That's evil. He says death's the end of both the body and soul, so there's no reason to fear death. Here's what he says, way back there. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. What does omnipotent mean? Being deity, omnipotent means having unlimited power. Omnipotent means able to do anything. He is all-powerful and almighty. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he's not God. He asks this question, is he able but not willing? If that's the case, then he's malevolent. What does that mean? It means a wish to do evil to others. Synonyms for that word is evil-minded, evil-intentioned. So if God's able but he's not willing, then he's evil-minded. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Then why call him God? You know, there's nothing new with this argument. We hear this still all the time. A Barnum poll asks, if you could ask God one question and you knew that He'd give you an answer, what would you ask? You know what the common response, the most common response is, why is there pain and suffering in the world? You can't ignore this. As Christians, we can't ignore this and say we have faith and just ignore it. That's not. We can't do that. We shouldn't do that. Ken Williver, I'm not sure which way. I believe Charlene knows him. He's a gospel preacher. He writes articles. You can find on preacherman.com. He's wrote a few articles this past week. He was asked by a Christian if he could write an article with this Las Vegas shooting as it relates to the book of Job. And his question, and I'm kind of narrowing it down, is it reasonable for Christians to expect God to protect us from the prowl of Satan? He continues on with this question. If a Christian was attending this concert, and I don't want to, you know, let's not hear about they're drinking and this and that. Just simply, if a Christian was attending this concert and was killed, how should we react to this? Pretend you're a friend of the shooting victim to his or her family, like you're one of Job's three friends. What should you say? How do you handle this? This is what and why I wanted to teach on this, and why I moved it up, and why I would like to do other lessons on it, because I need help in this area. Our possible failures to teach what the Bible says and teach and what it teaches about suffering leaves Christians unprepared for harsh realities. And you know what also it does? It also leaves our children vulnerable. And in some cases, the reason why they leave God, because of the wickedness in the world and the idea that God is able to stop it and doesn't. And if we don't teach on it, how are we going to help them? How are we going to help ourselves? How are we going to be one of Job's friends that handles it correctly? Since this question will be raised, it will be raised. This question will be discussed. And no one knows for certain when, because suffering and pain, well, those things, they don't come as planned. That's why they're so painful. So then, shouldn't we as parents and grandparents take time to teach our children and our grandchildren what the Bible has to say on this subject? Most people, not all people, a lot of people, just have not given much thought to evil and suffering until it's experienced firsthand. This is what forces us to gain some kind of perspective, but generally it's on the fly at our time when our thinking is anything but clear. We're generally overwhelmed, exhausted, and confused. And I'm not speaking about every people, but a lot of people. I read where a preacher who has preached for many years spent and did so many funerals and counseled so many people who's lost loved ones. But it wasn't until he unexpectedly lost his own child that hit him what this is all about. A faith that leads us unprepared or think of it this way. A faith that's prepared by the liberal thinking of today's society, which says we want abortion is fine. And what is the thing that they tell you? One of the first things you hear is rape. When you look at the numbers, I'm looking down here, 6,901 this year were due to rape abortions. Out of almost 712,000. When our faith is unprepared, or we let it be prepared by the society today, which uses the same logic as Epicurus, that pleasure and pain is the basis for moral distinction between good and evil, well, then that faith we have is non-existence or little or weak faith at best. And just believing God exists is not, it is not the same as trusting the God who exists. And if your faith, if my faith is based on lack of suffering and pain, then that kind of faith lives on a slippery edge of extinction. And it will fall apart as soon as that phone rings or the knock on the door coming with bad news. Do you agree that evil, pain and suffering, difficult times will exert a force that either pushes us away from God or pulls us toward Him? I've seen it just watching some interviews after the shooting. I've seen people and their responses go both ways. And either being pushed away from God or pulled to God, either way, this might not happen all at once. But suffering will come. It will come. And we owe it to God. We owe it to those round about us. We owe it to ourselves to be prepared for it. Like I said, if you live long enough, you will suffer. And in this life, the only way to avoid suffering is to die.